on today's episode. There's so many good things. The first thing we talk about, Inner Miami. Is this project looking like a failure right now? Christian got some wild stuff to say.
And we talk about the Manchester Derby. A lot of drama. Amorim, how long he's going to keep this job? Because he seems to be incredibly underperforming. Mm-hmm. We also have a big surprise, big giveaway. So make sure you tune in for the full episode. And a little bit of For Real. We got to talk to Lamine Yamal a little bit.
Hey, and Carter's comedy debut!
All this and more today on The Cooligans.
Okay, so I'm about to tell you a story that involves a dog, but it's not the dog's fault. The dogs had nothing to do with it. I'm just preparing everyone that I'm going to reference a dog.
I just wanted to make you aware that there are people in our Cooligans Discord on Patreon that have been commenting about your relationship to dogs.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for referencing it that way, because I've been told in the past that I hate dogs, and that is absolutely unequivocally false.
Okay.
I do not hate dogs. I don't understand. How am I supposed to read your dog?
But are you trying to understand them?
I let the dog lick me in the ear, bro. But this is a different story.
That's where the growth kind of begins. But okay, go.
I'm walking into a bakery. I'm there to get a regular croissant. It's a tiny place, right? As soon as you walk in, you have about three steps before you get to a long counter that basically takes up the whole area you're allowed to stand in.
Right.
Okay? So you walk in on the left-hand side. Where you pay is on the right-hand side. But directly in front of you are the array of breads that you can choose from. And on the right-hand side, as you get closer to the till, the payment area, mm-hmm. is like sweets and desserts, right? So if you're there to get like, you want to get like a loaf, a country bread, or a baguette, or a croissant, mm-hmm. you get that right up front. You know what I mean? If you want to get like an apple tart or something, you get that closer to the lady with a dog walks in. The reason why the dog is important is because of spacing, all right? Blocking.
But also, you shouldn't really bring in dogs in places that serve food, right? It's kind of taboo.
It's not taboo. They could tell you to leave, but I think this is just picking food up. You're not sitting down to eat.
Right.
Where health code says you can't have it, right? Unless it's like a service animal or some, which I'm okay with, by the way.
I've done that once.
People, I don't know if that sounded like I was against it.
I brought my dog in once to pick up food at like tacos.
Yeah, you're a monster. What am I gonna tell you?
But I didn't. I held him. I carried him. Picked up the bag.
Is this the same dog
out.
That jumped on me the moment I walked in and that you giggled?
Yeah.
And didn't take off of me? All right. Well, so I'm on the side of the taco spot.
No, they didn't have a problem with it.
I have a problem with
but
it.
If I were to work I, the even taco I felt spot. Uncomfortable doing that.
Yeah, you should have.
So anyway,
so I walk in and the lady in front of me stops. Remember, it's like 3 to 5 steps forward. And then go all the way to the right to tell the person what you want, right? She stops 2 steps in. She's got a dog on a leash. Dog is all the way to the left. I got nowhere to go. So I'm standing behind her. She's like, what should I get? Walk up to the counter, lady. Why are you looking at it from far? She's looking at it like she's afraid the bread's going to bite her.
Okay.
Like that's how far she is. You know, like a little child at a petting zoo. Like I don't want to get too close. Mm-hmm. But now I got nowhere to go. I can't pivot. I can't. Am I allowed to go around her? Am I allowed to cut in front of her? I know what I want. I'm in there for 1 croissant.
Yeah.
That's it. So now I'm waiting behind and no one, there's 2 people. No one's taking my order because of where she stood. It looks like we're together. Mm. You understand? So they're like, well, clearly he's waiting for her. But and I'm like, how do I get around? I go, excuse me. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry. Doesn't move the dog. She just kind of steps a little bit forward. I still have no real way around her. So I go, can I have a plain croissant? And they kind of look at me like, the 2 people behind the counter look at me like, I'm being aggressive. You know what I mean? And the guy's like, are you guys together? I said, no, we're not. And I know what I want.
Right? Not with this lady. I'm not with this. With this jackal.
Right? With this with this farm animal.
Bringing it into the bakery. What so kind like, of dog was it?
It was a relatively small dog, but it was one that like.
Was it like furry? Was it hairy?
Yeah, it was furry. It wasn't like a lap dog, but it wasn't much bigger than a lap dog.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it's not the dog's fault. It's just the way. She didn't pull the leash tight to let me go around her.
Right.
Nothing. This is all her fault. So I go, yeah, I'll have a plain croissant. I know what I want. You know what I mean? And the guy's like, are you together? I said, no. And Lady goes, oh, I'm sorry. Still doesn't move forward. I go, lady, you gotta pick a side here. You either go to the counter or go to the front. Like, what are we doing here? You're blocking. What if there's other people behind me? People are not waiting outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you this so far away from the counter? You know, I didn't scream that part, but I go, lady, pick a side, please.
You literally said,
I
lady.
I said, lady, pick a side, please.
Which is just that.
She's essentially, but she's a stanchion now with the leash. She's blocked off the hole.
But when you call a lady, lady, you're not, there's nothing polite about it. You know what I mean?
What do you want me to say? Ma'am?
Ma'am is probably a little bit more appropriate. I don't know how.
She ain't that old.
But still, it's like how aggressive.
You know what she is? Old enough to know better. But that's what she is.
But
pick a side.
Lady, pick a side, please, is you want the confrontation.
There's no confrontation. I want to pay. The guy's holding up my... I can't get it. What am I supposed to do? Hop over your leash?
No,
are we double dutching? Move!
I get it. All right. I mean...
But you know better. When you walk in, are you not aware of people around you? Are you
I
not,
am.
You're not cognizant?
Especially if this is in Brooklyn?
This is in Brooklyn.
I mean, you gotta do better than that.
Then,
do
yo,
better. Lady. Lady.
Do better. She looked at me like, how dare you say, why are you so far away?
That is, I mean.
It was upsetting to me. I'm like, ah.
If you're in like in the Midwest where people are like, they're polite
they take
all
their
the
time.
Yeah.
I got nothing else to do.
Yeah,
I drove 4 hours to come to this gas station. I live in the Midwest. I'm going to spend as much time talking to you as possible.
Those are probably not the words I would use to ask the lady to move.
Nah, you're a bit more gentle than I am.
That's all I'm saying is that it could have escalated very quickly because there's nothing patient about what you said.
I had no patience at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But we did this for 45 seconds. But you know that feels like a lot. That's a lot.
New York 45 seconds. Is
That's a lot, bro. What are you? She goes, what are we getting today? Who's we? You and the dog? Also, walk up to the counter. Why are you this far away?
Hey, blame the dog, Alexis. You gotta, that's ultimately, that's who you're going to go after.
You know what? I will say this. The dog didn't help. You got to get closer to your owner. I would have been able to walk around. But it's not the dog's fault.
Gotcha. All right. I'm glad.
I blame the parents.
I gotta blame the parents more than anything. I blame it's. You know what? It's the video games that these dogs are playing. That's what it is. All right. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Okay, and I'm a proud dog owner. Alexis.
Part of the problem.
Alexis tries to avoid them at all costs. But a hot show today. We got a lot
here
to
we go
over.
Here we go. Are you excited about today's show, Christian?
A lot of stuff. Major League Soccer. We had a very good weekend, Major League Soccer. But the Premier League is now also
full of facts.
After the international break, we'll talk about you also heard about the merging of the international breaks. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
We'll talk about that
you
later.
You can tell me all about it. You know how I always say in MLS, babe, we got time. 10 matches, it's not important. That's not the case with Premier League. It is full on.
No. After game two, it's red alert.
Seats are hot already in the Premier League.
Sirens. So we'll talk about the Manchester Derby, and we'll also talk a little about Lamine Yamal later on.
Oh, buddy. Speaking of hot seats, something's burning.
Today, Inter Miami, they seem to be stumbling into the playoffs. I have to ask the question, is it too early to call this project a failure? So that is why it is today's top topic.
This is the top topic.
Currently 8 in the Eastern Conference. They have a couple, I believe 4 games in hand. So they have a lot of opportunities to make up ground.
We admit it's ridiculous that any team can have 4 games in hand?
They had CONCACAF Champions Cup. They had Leagues Cup. They
Buddy,
had a lot going
settle
on.
Settle the calendar, MLS, please.
So
it's crazy.
That is why.
Some teams have 4 matches left. Some have 10.
some seasons are over.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
They're waiting.
One team is in the second round of the playoffs already. What's happening?
But the Eastern Conference is incredibly tight. So they have an opportunity to. I believe Inter Miami still have an opportunity to win the Supporters Shield if they really won out.
That can't possibly be.
It's close. I mean, they have an opportunity. Other teams would have to lose, but if they didn't lose against Charlotte, they would and they won out the entire season. They would have won the Supporters Shield.
Just reference: they are 9 points away from the Supporters Shield.
Yeah,
11 points away, but. They're in 11th place. So it feels like a high hurdle to jump.
I'll I'll say this for now. As far as, you know, they obviously the recent loss in Leagues Cup, and they're playing Seattle again on Tuesday without Luis Suarez this time. They don't have to worry about much spitting, hopefully. But they have two major trophies in 2.5 seasons. Messi has two major trophies, Leagues Cup and Supporter Shield. But my feeling right now, especially after watching this game against Charlotte, the last few games, the inconsistency, I think it is a failure. I think this season, look, obviously, they can turn things around. They win MLS Cup. You know, my words look pretty silly. But even if they did win MLS Cup and they found some way to turn this around, this team is objectively worse than the Tata Martino team. So Mascherano is... I can't necessarily just blame Mascherano, but he is selecting certain players. Tomas Aviles has been, I believe this is his fourth sending off of the season, which is just like surreal. He's a pretty young player as well. It's like he's young enough where you'd be like, you're not playing anymore. Yeah. You sit in the corner and learn your lesson.
Right. Did they not go over this in the academy? You're not allowed to do this, dude.
But Inter Miami have so much... inconsistency is not the word, but they need so many players in so many different positions, and that they can't sit a player like Aviles down because they have just so many issues.
They're top heavy,
and then
but an MLS rules stop you from being able to fill in your depth appropriately, and this is where we're at.
Well, the clearly, and this is my bigger issue, is not with Mascherano, it's with Jorge Mas and Beckham and the GMs and everybody. Is clearly the move has been to focus on obviously making the roster very top heavy, right, and bringing in a player like Rodrigo De Paul, but then it's also all right. Let's bring in these young Argentinian players that want to play with Messi and don't need... You could pay them $20.
Yeah.
And they'll show up and they'll play and they do what they can.
Target gift cards. They'll be like, no, I'm good with it. I'm good with it.
Amazon gift cards to play with Messi?
Will Messi come with me to Target once?
So that... I think the building a team like that is... It's a little bit reckless. I mean, and when you can see in the way that they play, like early on in the season, we were talking about emergency defending and all the issues, and they've kind of settled that a little bit. It's not as bad, but look at the game against Charlotte. Like Messi misses that penalty, tries for a Panenka, and it's rare to see Messi look really stupid. But this is when you do a Panenka and the keeper catches it, you look pretty bad.
Those are the only two options for Panenka. Either the keeper looks horrific or you look horrific. That's
exactly.
It.
So, and then, but to basically immediately give up a goal on the other end of that. So the momentum shifted pretty incredibly. But there's something to the way the roster is built that I think it's like mentally and psychologically like not stable enough to win a trophy. It's kind of scary.
So, okay. So you're on the side that it's looking like a failure. I'm saying under no circumstances is it a failure, because it feels to me like if I'm in charge of MLS, or if I'm in charge of Inter Miami, or if I'm in charge of any club, I'm looking at this Inter Miami thing as a absolute success, mainly because it's making money. Money everywhere it goes. So I agree with you. I think if you were to ask Jorge Mas and David Beckham, hey, would you spend more money on the players around Messi to fill in the spots if you were allowed to? What do you think they both would say?
Yeah, of course.
Yes. I think they would. And I think they would invest more in this team. And at the end of the day, would that make them a better team? Absolutely. So I look at this and I think they are being hamstrung by the rules. Also, the games they have coming up, so Seattle Sounders come to Miami. After that, DC comes to Miami. That's a very winnable game for them.
Well, DC beat NYCFC, and they drew against Orlando, a man.
But would you say that's not winnable?
Oh, of course it's winnable, yes.
Okay, then they come to New York City FC, which is probably a difficult game. New York City FC is above them, and it's on a smaller pitch, makes it a little bit more difficult for some teams. Mm-hmm. We saw them get equalized against by James Sands' first goal last time they were in New York. Then they go to Toronto, very winnable game. They go to Chicago, goes to Miami, winnable. New England goes to Miami, fairly winnable. Atlanta goes to Miami, pretty winnable. That's a derby. And then they go away to Nashville, which I could see that being a tough match for them. But at the end of the day, I'm looking at this and saying they're clearly going to be in the playoff picture. And that's all that matters in MLS. And that's why it's so difficult for me to say, yes, it's absolutely a failure, because all that you need to do is do well in the playoffs. Just get in the playoffs and you're good. After that, you need to catch momentum at that time. We would have said, what was that, 2016 or 2015? Portland, oh, they barely snuck into the play. They end up winning the whole thing. You never know. Yeah. You just got to get in the playoffs. And I think this is part of the, maybe, and I don't think Mascherano knows this going in, but how serious they took those first few games in the season. Like, yo, chill. This isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. You know what I mean? You can get your sea legs early on. Sure. And then go for a run at the end. You don't this is how you win Le Mans. I don't know if you're a big fan of racing, a 24-hour race.
Well, I know you're not.
What are you talking about? Clearly you don't know me.
You literally never spoken about Le Mans ever.
I've never told you about car racing.
Oh my God. What do you mean? I don't know if you're a big, you literally have never spoken about it.
I talk about cars and racing all the time.
I don't know if you know about Le Mans. Le Mans.
Yeah, this was it. I don't know if you've been
around. Where'd that S go, dog? Where'd that S go? That's not there.
I also said croissant earlier on. But in Le Mans, to make you a bit more comfortable, you plebe. You do not have to be in lead the whole time. In fact, a lot of great racers have slowed down and let other people lap them, and then they take over in the last few hours where everyone else is tired or other cars have sort of gotten booted out. So, yeah, what I'm simply trying to say, me, more well-rounded than you, both physically and in sports knowledge, is that it doesn't matter what you do early on, and I think we're looking at Miami through that lens right now. I think there's two things holding them back. One is the MLS rules, and two, we don't know what they're going to do in the playoffs. And that right there is going to tell you whether they're a failure or not. As of right now, Messi and all these big players left tomorrow, Jorge Mas and David Beckham would still kind of shake hands and go, hey, bro, we made a lot of money.
Possibly, but yeah, I don't think they you talk about getting hot at the right time. They do not look like a strong playoff team. And Messi's getting kind of like shut out in a couple of the League Cup final. And then this game against Charlotte, props to Charlotte. They've won 9 games in a row.
Bro, they're looking good. Ajima, man, they got him off the squad.
Toklamani has been fantastic. Yeah. Wilfred Zaha.
What did he say a while back? He kind of,
oh man, we should have got pulled that up.
He kind of undressed the team, right? Dressed down the team. What's the word? He undressed the team.
He talked about his attitude, and a lot of people were asking about his like body language and stuff. And we talked about this a couple months ago. And he basically said, like, if I didn't do those things, I wouldn't care. And it's like, but the fact that I care is like getting people riled up and getting people frustrated, and they think it's like a negative thing. So he's like, he kind of justified and be like, I am this way because I care.
You want me to not care?
And I believe they haven't lost a game since.
I think that's what turned it around.
Do you want to hear the quote?
Yeah, please. I would love to.
He says, I could walk around like a bot and not care about football or care about the team, but I care. That's me. Do you want passionate Wilfred Zaha, or do you want Wilfred Zaha that just walks around and doesn't care? I'm going to be me.
Love it, bro. Love it. Yeah,
They've been on a heater ever since.
This is one of those.
But don't get too hot too early.
But this is one of those things where if he said this in any other league, this would be like huge news. But because it was in American soccer, it just doesn't really make many waves. But you know, just the way I don't know what was like Troy Deeney was like cojones and stuff like that, and then that becomes like a bit of a moment in the cultural zeitgeist of football. I thought what Wilfred Zaha did in that I think it was like a mix zone thing interview. I think that's a big moment in not only Charlotte but in also MLS, because we don't really hear players talk like that much, and to kind of defend, even if they're being criticized, sort of defend their sensibility and
character. That's also one of those things that I think when you bring in a big player from another league, you kind of want that sometimes.
Sure.
You kind of want the, like, let me just raise the level a little bit here.
Okay. A couple other things in Major League Soccer. LAFC, they beat San Jose. They played in San Jose.
I believe you mean Heming Son beat San Jose. That's how I saw it.
Like 30 seconds into the game.
That's how I saw every article.
But it was great to see, because we don't really you know, my memories of, like, I remember going to see David Beckham at Giants Stadium, mm-hmm. when he played for the Galaxy and stuff like that. And Beckham was basically filling up NFL stadiums. And Heung-min Son, he scored obviously very early, but it is the sun show, bro.
It really is. The sun shining, the sun, if you will.
And it's just kind of awesome to see, because it's there isn't, with Lionel Messi, we saw, you know, when he played at Yankee Stadium, the boos and certain fan bases are like, no, we support our club and we're not going to support this.
I think Taylor Twellman said New York City was the only place that happened. Right, everywhere else, it's the Messi show.
So, you know, some cities won't accept the Inter Miami circus, but I can't find any scenario where people get tired of Son and they'll be like, we got to boo Son.
Even really, if, hard to boo Son.
You can't do it. I can't even find a reason. He does.
Again, I'm an Arsenal fan and I don't like Tottenham and I don't like their players. Even I wouldn't boo Son.
You can't. There's something in you. Like, if you boo Son, people are going to look at you like, yeah, all right, damn, it's time for therapy, dog. Yo. You know? You got to look inward.
Hey, man, whatever your family did to you, I'll apologize on their back. You know what? Come in for a hug. Come in for a hug.
Every time you look at Son, I actually think you're looking into a mirror, bro. Yeah.
You're projecting, and it's not okay.
So the fact that I sort of feel bad for the San Jose Earthquakes. They're like, yo.
Well, Danny Belanga got a hat trick against him, and Jorge was talking about Son. He was also man of the match. But Son brought all the asses in. See, they played this at Levi's, right?
Yeah, Levi's Stadium, where the 49ers play. Yeah. Awesome. What a great thing. We
talked about this early on. Is there another Messi? Is Heung-min Son kind of having a bit of a Messi effect? Like, is he the other Messi?
Well, he has now the top selling shirt in Major League Soccer, which is cool. Damn, and then even the other day we had done the Soccercitos. Check mm-hmm. out Soccercito if you haven't yet. We've been posting those videos. But one of the guys there had the Son shirt in Korean lettering, which is
He believes it says Son. Just say
anything. I'm assuming.
Just say anything. Just say, look at this white guy. He don't know.
I don't know.
He don't know.
Pretty dope shirt if you put, look at this white guy on the back.
It's a dope shirt to have. If you're a white guy and you're getting a shirt with Korean writing on it, ask them to put, look at this white guy. What? I mean, you're going to be an instant hit.
Exactly.
At the KBBQ? Oh, buddy.
Loved it.
Are you kidding me?
I love the impact that that he's having. So
I love it. I love the fanfare around him because he's such a sweetheart. Every interview he does, he's got a big smile.
NYCFC played LAFC in LA, I believe, this season.
Yeah, they won, if I'm not mistaken.
They being LA, I think. I think so. So next season, I mean, Son.
The Son
in New York, bro.
Damn. Sun going to shine in New York.
I mean, I'm still going to support my team, but. Right. I think it's going to be...
Not me. I'm going to be doing them little finger hearts in every photo. You feel me? You know what I mean? With the thumb and the thumb and the pointer. That's the Korean heart.
This is what they do for the right heart. Here, bro. I've never seen that before.
Bro, that's me.
Damn, bro. Alexis watching...
I'm going to be out there, Alexis, bro. K-popped up, dog.
Alexis is K-pop demon hunter, bro.
You know what I mean? Dog. Bro, I'm on K-pop demon time. They got drill? They got K-drill?
K-drill would be dope.
K-drill would be fire, bro. I'm someone who's got soul, spelled with an E, you know. By the way, early on you had said you didn't think Son could play center centrally. How we feel about that now, dog?
No, I didn't say that. Did I say he couldn't play centrally?
You said he should be played on the left. That's more of where you see him. You didn't see him so much as a nine. Him and Danny Bwanga, chemistry.
Right. And mainly because, I thought Son would be better on the left. Bwanga's definitely after a hat trick. Yeah. I mean, clearly, and you know, he's in the run for the Golden Boot. He's not gonna lose that spot. But the I didn't expect this false nine role that he is playing, and it's been fantastic. I still think LAFC have a few sort of defensive concerns. I mean, when Aaron Long, he got injured, he tore ACL or MCL or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or Achilles, I don't remember. Him being out, I think, has been pretty impactful. So they a couple issues there defensively for LAFC, but overall, yeah.
Well, roll the tape. You're not going to roll anything. There's not going to be any clip. But I did say he would be great centrally. So
he's doing great. He's doing great.
Next, right. I'll teach you about Le Mans.
So didn't do you know Porfirio Rubirosa, the Dominican?
Of course.
He was I believe he was also a Le Mans driver.
He was a race car driver for sure. I don't know if he was Le Mans.
I think he did do Le Mans.
A lot of people try to do Le Mans. It's very dangerous.
Didn't he die?
A lot of people die. Yeah, it's very dangerous.
Yeah, but I think he died doing Le Mans, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a 24-hour race. Race car driving is terrible for your heart.
Oh.
So doing that for 24 hours, oof. It's like a Lamine Yamal party. Anyway.
All right.
We'll talk about it.
So, also, Thomas Muller gets a hat trick for Vancouver, but they absolutely smack Philadelphia Union.
7-0.
I mean, look, we don't like to see that 7-0 result. It's especially as an NYCFC fans, it brings up bad memories.
If you are a Philly Union fan, you were at the stadium and you stayed there till the final whistle, put a little comment underneath this video, and I'm going to put the hug emoji.
Well, this game was in Vancouver.
Yeah. If any Philly fans went and stayed, I'm going to give you a little hug emoji, bro, because you need it.
7 is crazy.
That's crazy.
Bro. It's definitely crazy regardless of who's playing anywhere in the world.
Here's my theory, though. 7-0 is not as bad as like a 3-0 or a 3-1 because 7-0 means there was some one thing that was so dramatically underperforming or bad or was so out of place.
I
don't want to say it.
All right. And we love Alejandro Bedoya.
Sure, but this is like, you were such a weak link in this game.
Yeah. It was
that
bad.
They constantly attacked that, and that's why they got the goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This wasn't this team figured out your team is like, oh, look at that.
You know what I mean? He don't belong there.
Yeah, damn. Why don't we just keep punching in that area?
But Doya at right back is grossly irresponsible. I mean,
part of me wondered how, what did he do in training? You know what I mean?
Look, he's a legend. I mean, and an important player in U.S. soccer history for the U.S. National League and for the Union.
Also, but, just a great person to have around.
Great.
But he's a locker room guy. You know what I mean? At this age. You know what I mean?
He's older. He has a different role.
A fullback might not be the spot for him.
But,
you know?
But 7-0 is...
We love Alan Bedoya, but they don't let you play with a walker. So it's really hard.
He's going to see this. I know he is. But Vancouver, in credit to them, I mean, they kind of made a point of like, this is the best team. We're playing against the best team currently in Major League Soccer. Let's kind of make a statement. And a statement
has been made.
Right. But the, even after 3-0, 4-0, they were foaming at the mouth to try to score more. They were vicious.
I'm looking at the standings just to be like, was there a play for some reason for goal differential?
The goal,
they are plus 23 in goals differential. They have the best goal differential in the league.
Oh, do so, they? Well, having 7 in one game will do that.
That certainly helps. Yeah. The other two, this was important because they're plus 23 with 52 points. There's two teams above them, Minnesota at 54 points, so 2 points away.
Yeah.
And they have a plus 18 goal differential. And San Diego, 56, so 4 points ahead of them, also plus 18. So at plus 23, bro, they use Philly. They're like, yo, thanks for the help, my guys.
Thomas Muller scores a hat trick, but on his birthday, which I don't know how common that is. So he scores a hat trick on his birthday after the game, the post-match interview. I've never seen a German man be this giddy in his life. He was giggling. Right. They wished him. They were like, "Oh, was it a good birthday?" And he's like, "A good match day is all I need." just such a dad. Like.
I love him so much. He's like not the person you think he would be.
Not at all. I did not realize Thomas Muller had this much like personality.
You know who Vancouver went out and got? Levin Golski. That's the guy they got.
They said, we don't need Thomas Muller, bro.
We got to do something with his hair, right? We got to like bleach his hair. Something to remind, to show people he's more than this.
Get
like
the Diego Luna.
Yes. Or like, yo, you know what? Go get early Yedlin. You know what I mean? Spiky on one side, braids on the other. You know what I mean?
Mix it up.
With a little mullet.
Just another, I mean, again, just the, I did not think Thomas Muller would be, you know, again, you know, same. I said kind of like I had my skepticism about Son, but I knew the impact he would have on.
We knew the aura that was coming with him.
Yeah, I knew that. Thomas Muller didn't. I thought he would be like okay.
Yeah.
He completely surpassed what he's do, like what I thought he would do on the pitch.
You know why? It's because the American sports players that are told that, or we know them as like very fundamental, like, you know, what's the dude from San Antonio Spurs? Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan, yeah.
Boring. Right, right. One of the most boring human beings you've ever come across.
Uh-huh.
Right? Who's the Steph Curry? I don't know what this dude, boring, bro.
That's a little much.
Nah, he boring.
He's a little
snooze fest.
Boring. Not boring.
Nah, he could cure insomnia. Boring. I thought that's what
Steph Curry
is boring.
You are alone on that one, my friend.
That's kind of crazy.
What's exciting about Steph Curry?
Boring.
Not the way he plays. Personality.
Not boring.
Personality. Okay.
I don't even think his personality is boring. He's
crazy.
He's like
think he's exciting? You're like, oh, let me see what Steph is tweeting about these days.
I thought you were talking about his game.
No, not his game. No, I'm not talking about his game. Pay attention. You're producing the show.
like, you're fine. You're hired again. Sorry, man.
We need you. Get up. Sit back down. personality.
Yeah.
It sucks.
I wouldn't go that far.
Steph Curry is corny. Like, youth pastor personality.
He's like subtle. He's like dry oh, humor.
Subtle. That's like, yo, tell Steve to come to the party. He's subtle.
That's like comics that we...
Isn't he crazy?
No, that's
he's
like,
subtle.
That's like, we know a lot of comics that are not like big personalities, but they have their humor in their own sort of way. It's like a little bit more...
What kind of asterisks are you trying to add
saying,
to Steph Curry? Steph Curry, boring.
He's not boring.
Youth pastor, bro. Brings an acoustic guitar to the party. That's who he is.
I disagree.
Anyway, that's who we thought Thomas Muller was going to be. And he's not, bro.
He is very much not.
Nah, dude.
Are you saying Thomas Muller has a bigger personality than Steph Curry?
I'm saying Thomas Muller...
Okay. Glad we confirmed.
Now you know.
Okay, well, give a new drop our producer to bleep something out. All right, that's
that's why we need you.
Let's
Doug.
Talk some Manchester Derby after this, and we have a big surprise. We got a big giveaway coming up just after this. The Gooligans are going to be back at the Premier League Fan Fest.
That's right. Contractually, we're not allowed to do it anymore.
Or issues in the past.
Yeah. But, lawyers was getting in the way.
Premier League mornings have been a really cool thing since the first one we did was what, in 23? 23?
We did Philly.
In Philadelphia. And we had an absolute blast and got to work with all the cast and crew.
Rebecca Lowe said, we can't do it without the Cooligans.
So they're bringing us back. So we're going to be in Kansas City this weekend, hosting alongside, obviously, the cast. So usually during the commercial breaks, we'll be the ones interacting with the crowd.
That's right. Robbie Earl, Robbie Musto, Robbie Polanco, Robbie Guerreros. We're getting the band back together.
All the four Robbies. we all love it and miss them. So it's going to be super, super fun. So if you're in Kansas City, wave at us, say hello. If you want to take a photo, feel free to do that as well with us. Now, you could take photos of us.
Take
I guess.
Photos of us and then DM us.
Okay.
It's just going to be home me eating a hot dog.
And zoom in on certain body parts.
Oh, yeah. DM us a picture of our body parts as your favorite.
What's your favorite body part? All right. So, yeah, we are going to be there and it's going to be really fun. But we actually get to announce something really, really cool.
Oh, yeah. What's that, Christian?
the fan fest, every fan fest has.
Oh, hold on. Let me grab something important.
Has a jersey, has a shirt that is for that particular fan fest.
Does it look like this, Christian?
Yes, it does. The Avery Dennison Premier League Mornings Live Kansas City kit. We are not only are we going to be wearing this at the actual fan fest, but you can wear it too because we're giving it away. We have
cut to my ISO.
We have two.
Jeez.
We have two of these shirts to give away. They're absolutely fire. Avery Dennison makes some incredible kits for the fan fit. Avery Dennison, if you don't know, make the labels for all the Premier League shirts. So
all the badges, all the patches, everything.
The numbers on the back, Avery Dennison handles those.
Your favorite player's name.
Okay.
Avery Dennison did that.
Polanco. Put Polanco on the back.
Put Robbie Polanco on the back of his jersey. So, that's some respect.
If you would like to win this shirt, again, we have two of them. So shout out to Avery Dennison for donating these.
You want to hold it? Did you wash your hands?
Okay.
You never know with Christian. Why are we both holding it?
All you got to do is comment on this video, FanFest. Comment FanFest and you'll be eligible to win. We will be announcing the winner on Thursday's episode of the show coming up later this week. So comment FanFest right now in this video if you would like to win this shirt.
Isn't this like an NFC or something? Like, doesn't it do something?
Yeah. Oh, it does. Like, okay. Where does it go? It goes to the website, I believe, right? The Avery Dennison website.
It goes to robbiepolanco.com. No, it goes to a cool website. Why do you have a website, man?
I made it right at the beginning of this promo. Again, comment FanFest if you'd like to win this. And we'll see you in Kansas City alongside the NBC crew of Premier League Mornings. So we'll see you this weekend, everybody. Cheers.
We got to talk about this. Okay. Ruben Amorim has had the worst start to a Manchester United manager since World War II.
Ouch.
That's a long time ago. But is it still too early to suggest that maybe he's not the right fit at Manchester United? Ouch. We're going to go around the league. Talk a little bit about this.
World War II. I remember.
Remember that?
Those times.
Just you. Sunbathing on the beach in Normandy, going, what's going on? Who are all these
what's
soldiers?
What's all this ruckus?
Are these boys here to see me?
Oh my goodness! This is private property.
Whoa! Do you have permits? Turrets? I said permits.
Oh my God. All of a sudden, a Karen is at the Battle of Normandy.
Excuse me.
Anyway, The Manchester Derby was not great for Ruben Amorim.
This was bad, but the start to the season has been bad. I mean, this just haven't been good.
Yeah. Yeah, both of those things mean the same thing.
No, I mean, the match is... This was like a symptom of a terrible start to the season.
Yes, yes.
They nearly lost to Grimsby, right? They won in penalties. No, they lost
to Grimsby. Lost to Grimsby. That was a big deal.
Jesus, even worse than I thought.
Remember, but even I don't think we talked about this, but Grimsby Town apparently had a ineligible player.
Oh, yeah. So they might get booted, right?
No, they're not going to, because Manchester United would have to, like, file a claim and you know, file a grievance and say, like, let's replay this game, right, or something
so
like that.
So Jim Ratcliffe is like, we can't afford another match. I'm going to have to fire 17 more staff. Who's the oldest person here?
Everybody was like, you know, a lot of people, some people were like, no, they should, you know, file the grievance and replay the game whatever. And some people were like, you lost.
You lost to Grimsby.
And the reason there was an ineligible player is because he was registered 1 minute after the deadline, which is like, all right.
12:01.
It's 12:01. Yeah, so it's bro, just let it go.
But you got slapped by the fish.
It doesn't matter.
On.
If it was 11:59 or 12:01, it's still you still lost. So, but this, I mean, from the bigger picture, Amorim, you know, and I said this at last season when he the few games after when he got hired, and I found his demeanor kind of refreshing. He was very straightforward, very, very different than Erik ten Hag, much more clear, held people accountable. Some people would say he was calling out certain players publicly, which you sort of shouldn't do. And then everybody, you know, back the manager, back Amorim, and Rashford gone, Garnacho gone, Sancho gone. Like, everybody who was problematic is gone, but the problem still seemed to be there at Manchester United. So it doesn't... You look at the list of players that are, especially just this weekend, McTominay, who was not only Is he a fantastic player? The fits alone in
Italy. The glow up is insane.
I say, is it you break up with Amorim and all of a sudden
you leave Manchester and people just gift you skincare products? Yo, everything about them look good.
He looks fantastic.
He looks like a movie star.
On and off the pitch. But then
Hoyland scores
for Napoli this weekend in his debut. Onana
looks great.
Onana has a World Cup, you know, caliber performance.
Might I remind you that Trabzonspor in the area has some of the radiation leaking from Chernobyl to that area. They've only won once in like 50 years. This is like a pretty down area, and Onana is having a blast.
He got bit by a radioactive nuclear power plant.
Buffon.
And so everybody's like, oh, so you leave Manchester United and all of a sudden, you know, things get better for you. But look, you leave a toxic workplace. And why wouldn't things get a little bit better? Because you're a little bit more excited to wake up in the morning and go to work.
This is the toughest thing about the sport of soccer or football. It's not always the player. It's sometimes the situation the player's in, right? Like, is the system bad? Yeah. The players you're connecting, that I'm supposed to get passes from this guy and go to the guy. That guy sucks, and this guy doesn't know where I'm going to go because he doesn't pay attention to training. Like, you know what I mean? You could be in a bad situation.
Right.
Why is every player that leaves Manchester United that player that seems like, oh, it was just a bad situation?
Right.
This is tough. This is tough to say. But do you think this is... it's now a bad fit? Is it too early to suggest that? Where are you right now?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, look...
You got to make a decision.
It's a decisive point because they have to figure out how much longer are they going to deal with this, right? Like, how much do we blame the players versus how much do we blame the manager? The manager wants to play three at the back, and this is the style. Does he have the players to do that? Does he need more windows? How long can they continue being this bad where they can kind of break through and get to the other side where, like, yeah, maybe they do have a couple windows and they bring in players that fit the style. But how, if Manchester United are willing to do another 17th place finish and continue to be bad for another season and a half, then I'd be like, incredible. Like, you back the manager that much. That is impressive. But what we're sort of used to is that the bar for Manchester United is incredibly high. If they're not fighting for the Premier League title or at least a Champions League spot, it is basically a failure.
Right now.
Yeah. And they're not.
And so, I get your point, right? I think the thought process was, oh, he came in mid-season. Mm-hmm. That's difficult. He was just trying to figure it out, feel it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Throw a couple jabs. I just want to see what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Right? But right now, he's looking like Canelo, okay? Right now, you've thrown a couple jabs, but you just took a bunch of punches to the face. Yeah. It ain't looking good, bruv. Right? Because you had a preseason. That's what all the Manchester United fans were saying.
We saw them? Hey, we saw the summer series?
Hey, bro, let him have a preseason. Mm. Let him have a preseason. Let him have a transfer window, and you're going to really see him cook. He did both those things.
Yeah.
That oven is off right now.
Right.
Ain't no cook. You being cooked, right? So do you have, is it time to say it's a bad fit? The only reason I'm going to say no, it's not time to say that yet. It's looking like it. All the evidence is pointing to that. But they don't have a choice. They pay $10 million to get this guy out of his contract. Right. This is one of your transfers with this coach. You got to hope it works out.
Yeah.
You told the fans this is what it was going to be. Even someone like a Šeško, I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
All of your players, Mezrawi's hairline is the only thing that seems to be developing.
At least there's positive news there.
Yo, Turkey on the up. Speaking of Turkey, two people having a good time in Turkey. Onana and Mezrawi. Bro, like, I'm watching this team play, and I'm like, this is lacking insane levels of cohesion. And might I remind you that this is a Manchester City that wasn't even in great form.
No.
They haven't started the season well. And the stats are horrific, bro. The expected goals for Manchester United was 1.52. They scored zero,
mm-hmm.
right? Manchester City had 2.6.
I mean, also, Donnarumma got his start, and he made some incredible saves.
I mean, this is what he's good at, stopping shots, right? But it made me think, like, sometimes when you see the XG, that's just because you took a couple shots in a game where maybe you didn't really have a lot going on. Maybe you took a couple like long shots or whatever, something that kind of started building your number up a little bit. So I'm like, what's the season stat? And I think this is a really good stat, right? Like a while ago, you would see like, oh, Arsenal have an XG of 52, but they, or whatever it is, like let's say 30, and yeah, they scored 32. So that means they're above.
Yeah.
So what's the season so far, right? Let's take all their matches, and they've scored 4 goals, right? All season so far in the Premier League. What do you think their XG has been through those 4? Mind you, if it's lower, you're like, oh, you're doing even better than you've been playing. And if it's lower, I mean, if you've scored less than you than your XG.
No, it has to be higher because the game against Arsenal, they had a bunch of great chances. It has to be maybe 5?
Okay, 8.3. So half, less than half of your XG score goals. That means you're performing badly.
Right.
That to me is a sign that says, okay, unless you have a major injury somewhere that I don't know about, this is a tactics issue.
Yeah, well,
or a preparation for what the other team's tactics are going to be.
I saw Roy,
which is pointing it at the coach's feet.
Yeah, and this is another thing I think is probably on the coach as well. I saw Roy Keane talk about this. This game, a Manchester derby.
I have a feeling what I know. Roy Keane, Manchester, he didn't get stuck in.
But look at the stats: 0 yellow cards in a Manchester derby.
He would say that, but yeah, that is wild.
That is, it, I mean, and even if you are you know, subscribe to the Roy Keane get stuck in and aggressive, whatever, 0 yellow cards in any professional match is kind of weird.
Nobody angry?
Nobody's mad?
Yeah.
After you're down 2-0, you don't get a little upset?
Yo, there were no cards at all in this match.
This was a handshake of a derby.
This is a derby, bro. Y'all supposed to hate each other.
A little bit. At least even in a performative way, like hate each other a little bit.
No one even got a little frustrated?
I know that WWE ain't real, but I thank you for performing that you hate each other a little bit.
You ever see those fouls where like a player's on the run and you're like, oh, none of us are back then. Let me just take him out real quick.
Right.
And then you pick the player up. Hey, that was a professional foul. You didn't even, you're that lacking in professionalism. You didn't even foul each other a professional foul.
It is unprofessional to get no yellow cards.
I would honestly say, you know, I'm not one to constantly agree with Ricky. This is damning.
It is kind of odd.
Not even in the halftime, be like, yo, I want to see somebody hit somebody.
I mean, even
just take Erling Haaland out.
When Luke Shaw in the third goal kind of like took a bad touch and lost the ball, I mean, for the hell of it, just throw one in there, bro. The game's almost over.
Somebody
just make a point.
Clatter into somebody in a corner.
There was a comment from Lenny Yoro. He was asked about, and I'm almost sure it was real. Please, somebody correct me if it was not, because I think I just saw like an infographic. But they asked like, are you worried about going up against Erling Haaland? And he said, why would I be afraid of a guy that touches the ball 4 or 5 times a game? Buddy, my man, but he only scored 2. You're lucky he only scored 2.
Yeah. Maybe you should. Bars.
Yeah.
But maybe wait.
I mean, Haaland was fantastic in the game. Jeremy Doku is, I think, finding a new sort of level.
Well, he had like a bad cross, and then he sort of, backwards, puts it for
but again, he's just to me, he seems sometimes a little bit he's a doing too much kind of a player.
Yeah.
But against Manchester United, it was perfectly the amount of doing.
So I'm gonna quiz you. You're probably not gonna get it because I would have never guessed this. But 7 Manchester City players had a higher FOTMOP rating than any United player gets on there. Who do you think is the top? It's not Bruno Fernandes, by the way.
Okay.
Who do you think is the top rated Manchester United player?
Oh boy. Obviously, it can't be a defender.
No.
Did Maynard? Did he start?
It is not Maynard.
No. I literally have no idea.
Patrick Dorgu.
Dorgu, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was there.
Yeah. When that's your best player, you ain't winning, bro.
So look, another sort of statement game for Man City and for Manchester United. But yeah, the statement.
Rodri's clearly starting to get back match fit.
But it's
looking good.
It's looking bad. Already a lot of people are like, he doesn't make it till Christmas. But it can't go. The bar is probably a little bit lower for Manchester United right now. But it is not. It's not fighting relegation. So if it continues to get worse, yeah, I can't see him lasting till probably even Thanksgiving. I don't see how that that's even possible.
I believe their top scorer right now is own goal.
I'm a huge fan of Owen.
Remember that guy?
Okay, a couple other things in the Premier League.
It is.
Liverpool win it late against Burnley. This was
how long are they going to keep getting away with this?
this is I mean, you don't even really need to watch any of the game except the last few moments if you didn't watch it. It is a Frimpong goes to sends it into the box late in the game. They're trying to get a result. They're trying to get a win.
This is like Burnley's
down
a
man. And what's his name that got the handball?
Dude with the cornrows.
Yeah, I forgot his name on Burnley. Cardiff, you can get his name. But he, man, I can't even. This is such a terrible handball that it
I felt terrible for him.
I felt terrible for him. He put it, his head in his hands. He is on the verge of tears. For giving up this handball in a game where you're playing down a man, it's 0-0. You are defending your heart out. You're doing everything for your team to eke out a result against the Premier League champions, and you give up this handball.
Hannibal.
What's his last name? Is his last name Hannibal?
I think his last name is Hannibal. Yeah.
Hannibal Medjbury.
Oh, there it is.
Got it. So when you give up a play like this, a handball like this,
in the dying seconds where you're barely holding on, it seems like this felt like a 3 points, one point that felt like 3 points. You know,
yeah.
You've stuck in. This is the best team in the league. They won last season easily. And they can't win here. You know?
Yeah.
That's how it felt. I knew the speech that was coming. Scott Parker was like, this is an easy one. And then in the last second,
dude, I felt bad for him.
You did all the hard work. But it's like you studied and you did everything and you just didn't show up to the test.
And I mean, nobody's probably more distraught than Arsenal fans because you're like, I was looking on FotMob and I saw it said 90 minutes, 0-0. I'm like, oh, wow, Liverpool dropping points for the first time this season. And then I don't even pay attention to it. And I look the next day. And I'm like, what the hell's this?
Yeah. When did that happen?
When did that happen?
The next morning? What are they counting?
But brutal. And it's inexplicable. I mean, I understand I understand maybe the fatigue of a game like that where you're just constantly defending. But what? And he was like 6 yards away from Frimpong. Where is the instinct to throw your arm up?
He didn't even throw it. He threw his elbow out in a very obvious, I'm trying to stop this shot.
Yeah.
It wasn't like there's no question. Didn't need to go to VAR.
No.
It is what it is. I felt bad too because they were down a man. Like they were putting it all. But Liverpool have now won 3 of their last 4. They've had 4 matches in the league so far. All of them wins. 3 of the last 4 have come relatively late. So against Newcastle, 90 plus 10, right?
Yeah.
Against Arsenal, 83rd minute. Wonder strike, free kick, right? And now against Burnley, you've got 90 plus 5. I mean, literally, right as the whistle's about to blow, someone does something to give Liverpool a penalty or a free kick. So I'm going to ask the question, have they bought the referees, right? Should Arsenal be given the title for last season?
Fair question. And this is why we do this show.
Right?
Should we update it from Fergie time to slot time or Arnie time?
Slot time. This is a aluminium mall party. What's going on here? Oh, wait. You said slot.
Slot. Slot. Slot.
Slot.
Okay.
Got it.
Liverpool, four wins in 4 to start the Premier League season. Another interesting team after 4 games, Aston Villa. Aston Villa has not scored a goal in 4 matches. Aston Villa, weirdly enough, I feel like this offseason, Unai Emery looks uncomfortable, like in the technical area. Like there's one of the things that, like, I don't even got the people I need here.
Y'all ain't even my peoples out there.
Because even I think the drama with Emi Martinez, we all thought he was going to go to Manchester United and then late possibly a Turkish team. And I think there's too much drama that hasn't been settled yet, and the team does not look very good. They played against Everton, and that game could have gone either way. Both teams probably, you know, didn't. Emi Martin made a couple really big stops, so did Jordan Pickford. But yeah, this is Aston Villa are in a weird spot because they have Villa in Europe or Conference League or Champions or where are they? They didn't make it at all.
Europa League.
Europa. So this is not look like a team that's ready for European competition right now.
I was surprised. I mean, they have Harvey Elliott, Jadon Sancho, and Lindelof. Those are some of the players they brought in.
Mm-hmm.
Sancho maybe could do bits. I mean, Harvey Elliott's a good young player. But it seems like this feels like it's still a little too early. It feels like they did a lot of their business late. They still don't feel settled, like you sure. said. There's something about this where I'm like, Unai Emery feels like the type of manager that'll get it right. I'm not worried. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But it ain't looking good. Yeah. Four matches without scoring a goal is not great.
Wolves, Villa, and West Ham are in the relegation zone right now. West Ham is that not shocking at all.
No, West Ham is horrible.
They look really, really bad. So have Wolves, and you know, kind of losing Cunha, I think, is kind of like why they are where they are. The other team, we have to talk Arsenal a little bit. Because they had a fantastic win against Nottingham Forest.
Noni Madueke, baby.
But Odegaard gets injured. I don't know how serious it is yet.
They haven't said.
Is it a shoulder? I think it's shoulder injury.
Yeah, he landed on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Another Arsenal player that bumped into him.
Yeah, but he just recently came back from a shoulder injury.
Okay.
So it was one of those. It was like an NFL player once who like broke his he injured his shoulder. And another player slapped him on the pads to be like, get better, and aggravated the injury. It's like many years ago, like they showed the clip all the time. That's kind of how this felt. Like he just came back from shoulder injury, and then he lands on his shoulder.
Sure.
And he tried to play through it, but it was really rough. Saka's out. But this felt like this is what Arsenal has wanted to see, I think, if you're an Arsenal fan, and I am. It's like there was no depth last season, right? One of your first 11 out, it was dire straits. And now we're seeing, Eze looking good, Noni Madueke, who the fans were just so rude to. Man, Arsenal fans were laughing at this, upset. Oh, get this guy off my team. Why are we giving Chelsea 50 million? Who is this guy? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm fighting everybody off. I'm saying, he dribbles at people. That's what Martinelli doesn't do anymore.
Sure.
That's why you bring this guy in. Oh, he can't shoot. We don't need him to shoot. Pass the ball to Gyökeres. That's all we need to do.
It's also, I didn't necessarily think it would necessarily be a good fit.
You were also wrong.
I was wrong, but I didn't think he was a bad player. So
no.
He's an English international. He's a good player. Does he fit in Arsenal given the roster? Like especially, you know, he's a $50 million player that's going to be on the bench. Is it necessarily like where it's a big risk? But
things I said, and I could pull up the receipts that I said this. I said, one, he's going to be playing mainly on the left. He's going to come in for Saka as a sub on the right. I think we've seen that already.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be starting on the left come by the time the seventh match of the season is on, he's already the starter. So we haven't seen that yet. But I think I could see exactly what they were hoping to get when they got him, which is this is a player that may, more than anything else, what he was asked to do at Chelsea was a little bit beyond what the type of player Arsenal want from him, which is mainly, you're going to get the ball, and what I need you to do is drive into space. You saw it in real time. If a defender was like 6-7 feet away, he doesn't let the defender close in. He closes into that defender.
Sure.
He's constantly driving at the defender, putting them on skates. This is what we need on the left. This is that pressure release that this team has needed. And we're seeing Arsenal, again, without two of their best players already looking good. I'm really confident that this is at least a better start to the season that we had last season, and we're some of the ills that we were trying to fix last year that they didn't do in earlier transfer windows, they finally did it in this transfer window.
And that's the thing, they're fixing the issues of like Arsenal always have injury issues,
mm-hmm.
and they never had anybody to step up. And
look at Saka. He couldn't take a break.
I mean, Saka's...
Don't you ever forget Saka.
Not forget Saka, but I think the bigger point here is Mosquera.
Mosquera's incredible.
What
is he, Colombian?
He's Spanish.
Spanish, that's right.
Which Mosquera is a very Colombian last name, which you used to make.
I don't like the fact that he's Spanish.
Okay, this changes everything.
Yeah. I need to hear the accent. You lisping, bro? I need to hear the lisp.
So, what a fantastic replacement for Saliba.
Incredible.
And you know that they're going to deal with injuries.
Also, Saliba is being heavily tracked by Real Madrid, which means Real Madrid are waiting for his contract to run out so they can get him on a free.
Okay.
And well, I don't know that there's much we can do to try to keep him. Yeah. So Mosquera, I'm very happy with that. Yeah. No. How old is Mosquera? What is he, 22?
21.
21.
And then, and look, no, but the front three of Madueke, Gyökeres, and Eze were great in this game. I love the pass from Eze, the long ball, and then just crossing it right into Gyökeres and putting it in his path. It's one of those things of like Martinelli on the would have never
talk your shit, Chris. Let me hear it.
He just would never even think to make this pass.
How could he? Because he'd be dispossessed. Something happened to him. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe it's a loss of confidence, but he doesn't have it. Yeah. How long have I been yelling about Martinelli?
But
how long have I been yelling about Martinelli?
A very long time.
At least 2 years.
I can still hear the echoes of you when you first started screaming.
2 years at least.
Yeah. But as a, I mean, look, do I think he should be on the left? Probably not, because I think he's a better midfielder. But
let him cut in. I think you.
But like, having that,
this isn't Football Manager 10 years
but
ago.
But that midfield brain in that spot is like, I think, much very helpful for Gyökeres, especially because he has somebody that can get him the ball and get him in good position. And then look in preseason, we were talking about, is Arsenal going to get Gyökeres and Šeško or one of the others? Šeško said no, he wanted United. And look at what Šeško's doing right now. Yeah. Look at what Gyökeres is doing. So,
hope you got what you wanted, bro.
It's working out for the Gunners.
See you in Trabzonspor in 3 years, Šeško.
Okay, say hi to Anana for me.
Damn.
All right. We gotta do some over real after this, because we gotta talk about Lamine Yamal just a little bit. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back. We have to talk about Lamine Yamal because this is odd, because he was reported to be, he's gonna be missing a game because of a pubic injury. So I've never really.
He is 18, right? We're allowed to talk about it?
He is 18.
He turned 18?
I think HIPAA laws don't allow revealing this. But a pubic injury. So Lamine Yamal, and you know, they put out this statement, and in the statement said Lamine Yamal is experiencing discomfort in the pubic area and is currently unable to train or play. His return to training will depend on how his condition evolves. This is weird. We're not used to seeing the word pubic anywhere.
It's not a common. So is it in FOTMOP?
So we have to ask, is this for real?
Oh, for real? Pubic?
Oh, for real? Barcelona can't be putting out a statement saying Lamine Yamal pubic injury. The internet is not mature enough for that. I haven't heard anyone talking about a teenager's pubic area this much since the president wrote Jeffrey Epstein a birthday card.
Damn, release the list. Oh, for real? Now we're going to burn this bridge with Barcelona. Hey, speaking of burning.
Great. Oh, for real? Did y'all use Duolingo to write this statement? Pubic injury is way too vague. Nobody knows if he is injured, if he injured the shaft, the jewels, or the gooch itself. Barcelona got me worried about Lamine's pelvic floor. I'm concerned.
Are you doing your Kegels? Oh, for real? Barca? Pubic injury? What are you trying to cover it up? Like Lamine Yamal maybe should have done.
Allegedly. We don't know what the injury was. Oh, for real? What does Argentinian rapper Nicki Nicole think
Who's
about
that?
All of this? And that's Lamine's girlfriend. She's probably wondering what this injury is. She's like, is this pubic injury contagious? Or am I going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, or should I start writing my will?
Okay. It's the first injury for a player where you need to go through their phone. Oh, for real? Lamine, you want to be a legend, Lamine? Huh? The greats would have played through this. Okay, Ronaldinho, you think an itch down there would have stopped him? Huh? What about Maradona? Huh? You think a wart or two would have stopped him? No. What about the GOAT, the greats of all great, the top, the GOAT? Bonnie Blue, you think a little burning sensation stop Bonnie Blue?
I would hope it does.
Nah, she kept all 999 other guys.
You gotta shut down the industry.
Nah, you gotta play through your injuries. You want to be on Mount Rushmore?
All right.
Actually, with Bonnie, Ronaldinho, Maradona.
We got a little bit of a surprise here to wrap up O For Real, because we challenged
Producer Carter.
Well, he was rushing us to write. So I said, why don't you just write one joke?
You think this is easy? So
write one joke. Which, by the way, this takes a lot of guts. So we're applauding him.
Yeah. It's all encouragement, love, and support. So
absolutely.
Carter has a
By the way, you roast the ones you love, but go ahead, Carter.
Carter has a contribution.
I just have a question. Do you think Lamine Yamal has been listening to Usher's Let It Burn on repeat this past week?
Let's go! Yeah! Let it burn!
What a great stuff.
There we go.
I love the dismount, the form. Mm. All of it was
this
perfect.
This is how Lamine got the injury.
All right. Well, it looks like it might just be a groin injury. Hopefully.
Maybe. Or if you're someone who books little people for parties and stuff, maybe get them tested. I'm just saying a couple tests.
He's a good kid. Comes from a good family. You hate hearing stories like this. So
his dad listens to OGZ. Anything is possible.
So all right. Best of luck to Lamine. All right, let's wrap up the show there.
Good advice, Lamine.
I mean, we're only here. We're your big bros. We're out here to help.
We're just trying to be your unks out here. That's all.
So, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. A reminder, if you'd like to win the Premier League FanFest shirt in Kansas City, make sure you comment FanFest in this video right now. If you have not yet, if you're listening to this, go to the YouTube and comment FanFest. We're going to be announcing the winner on Thursday's episode this week, and we're going to obviously be talking about a lot of Champions League.
FanFest in the YouTube comments, and you have a chance to win this shirt.
Yeah,
we got a couple,
absolute
right?
Absolute five. We have two of them to give away. So again, shout out to
two people will win.
Avery Dennison and the Premier League for that. All right, make sure you follow us on all socials at Soccer Cooligans. Hit like on this video, subscribe as well, and that's about it. We'll see you in Kansas City this weekend.
Yeah,
but we're back on Thursday.
Us and the other two Robbies are going to be hanging out.
So many Robbies.
We're the first two Robbies.
So say hello in Kansas City. But we'll be talking a lot of Champions League. Obviously, the Champions League is back this week, so mm-hmm. we'll talk about that on Thursday. And that's about it. Any parting words?
Love you guys.
Love you. All right. Take care, everybody. Peace.